Good afternoon, brethren. Do any of you know how to catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on him. Do you know how to catch a tame rabbit? Tame way. You sneak up on it. The happiest people don't have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything they have. They live simple lives. They love generously. They care deeply. They speak kindly. And they leave the rest up to God. Question: how do we as Christians fit in this scenario? Do we make the best of everything we have? Do we live simple lives? Or are we too busy with other things? Do we love generously? Or are we too busy with other things? Do we care for others deeply? Or are we just too busy, busy, busy? Do we speak kindly of others? Do we leave the rest up to God? Or do we do it all ourselves and leave God out of the picture? Today, I would like to focus on these 6 points as a whole package. I will bring up some biblical examples and some personal examples of how we can have this whole package and be happy by making the best of everything that we have. The only way we can do this is to have a loving relationship with God our Father and our elder brother Jesus Christ. I do not mean a weekly Sabbath relationship, but a daily relationship. If we have a weekly relationship, then God and Jesus are nothing more than passing friends. For those of us who are married, try talking to your spouse or just being with your spouse for 2 hours a week and see what that relationship will do. God and Jesus expect more and demand more if we want to see the blessings they will bestow upon us. You know how I know this? Prior to 1999, I had a weekly Sabbath relationship with God and Jesus Christ. I have related this story before, and I'm going to do it again because I think it's important at this time. In January 1999, I was working day and night. I was making a ton of money, but I did not have a life. I neglected my wife, I neglected God and His Son, so God gave me the boot out of the Boeing company. These words came to me sometime later of the incident. God said, "Gary, are you with me or against me?" Well, I had 35 years of experience, so I tried the Gary do-it-yourself method. 11 months later, I still had not found work, and my unemployment had run out. And at this moment, I was not in a very good situation. Those words that I felt God gave to me earlier started to hit home. And I thought, maybe I ought to start letting God talk to me each day through His spoken word and get down on my knees and ask forgiveness for my arrogance, stupidity, and thinking that I could do it alone. I have never stopped since that day. 2 weeks after I listened to God, I got my first job. You see, God had to first teach me humility. My first job was with a temp shop at $8 an hour, working as a busboy at the Boeing cafeteria, serving the engineers that I used to work with. You see, God does not always use the analogy of the plank in the eye. He sometimes uses the plank up beside the head for some of us hard-headed Israelites. My wife and I went through 5 years of struggles. I could talk to you for hours about the negative things that happened, but you see, I have forgotten them, because now I only want to talk about the blessings that we received while we were going through these trials. The second month after my layoff, we were debt-free and have been ever since. We received a free car that ran through the whole scenario of my time being off from my career work. And the blessings just kept coming. But I did not see them as blessings at that time. But every day I only see, now every day I see the little blessings, and they're still coming. You know, the other morning I went to work, there's 20 stoplights between my home and my work. And I hit every one green. It's the only time that ever happened. And because of my awareness, I said, thank you, God, because you see, I saved money on gas, I saved on my brakes, I saved on my car and whatever. And halfway through that period of getting to work, it started raining. It poured. And the closer I got to work, the harder it rained. Now it's 542 steps from my car to get inside the building. And I knew that I was going to be soaked. I drove into the parking lot, and guess what? It stopped raining, just like that. And so I can say, thank you, God, that I didn't get wet. And the blessings just go on and on and on like that. You see, I now have a loving, caring, kindly relationship with God, and I'm learning to have the same with my brother, Jesus Christ. The reason? The first thing every morning at 4 a.m. for me, because I get up and I go to work early, I listen to, and since 1999, I have listened to God speak to me through His Word. And then I speak to them through prayer. It works. I hope that the lessons I had to learn, and God was very patient with me, that you can use my examples to help you through your trials and opportunities. And He did not put me through anything I could not endure. The reason I brought this up again is this is the season that Satan is going to throw everything he's got at us. Every year we hear about the trials that many brethren go through prior to the Passover. Satan knows what Christ represents. He knows about our calling. He knows about our relationship with the Holy Days. He is honking mad and will try every trick in the book to deceive us. He knows that all of us that have been baptized and given the Holy Spirit has power over him. But he also knows that some of us do not know how and when to use it. Brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a must that we work toward having a close, loving relationship with God and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We must take control of our lives and think about the kingdom. The world has become so intimidating, it robs us of precious time that we could spend learning to love our Creator and having that close relationship with Him so that we will receive blessings instead of trials. We are going to see change. There will always be change. We can get so hung up on change. There may be things the church is doing that we don't like. There may be changes in the move of the church headquarters. So what? Some will say, okay, I've had enough, I'm leaving. I say, so what is the change? Where would I go? The answer is that our relationship with God is of the most importance. Let's go to John 6. I'm going to sort of paraphrase a little bit. And starting in verses 33 is a kind of a long thing here that Christ is talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And nobody is understanding what he's talking about. But down in verse 66, it says, from this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer traveled around with him. So Jesus said to the 12, don't you want to leave too? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the word of eternal life. We have trusted and know that you are the Holy One of God. I think these words have said it all. If we were baptized, we had faith, we trusted, we know where the word of eternal life comes from, we must get control of our lives and continue to trust and have faith and not allow the ways of this world to intimidate us. Now, taking control of our time and how we use it is a real challenge. It won't be easy, but we can do it. We must do it if we want to be a part of God's kingdom. I'm reading a book. It's called a national bestseller, Against All Odds, My Story by Chuck Norris. He tells about his life, what kind of a family he came from, what he did, where he is now, and how he found God. He was international martial arts champion for 6 years in a row. And he did it by concentration and mind control. He studied his components before he ever went in the ring with them. He had mind control of their specific moves as he watched them spar with other components. This was his power over his components. Mr. Norris made a statement that I think is fantastic out of his book. He said, "I think Jesus exhibited a similar power under control. Although Jesus was never a martial artist that I know of," and in parentheses he writes, "although the scene when he chased the money changers out of the temple comes pretty close, Jesus radiated a confidence that came from inner strength. He is the ultimate example of power under control. Reading the records of his activities, it's obvious that even when he was being accosted or attacked, he was always in charge, all the way to the crucifixion. He willingly allowed the soldiers to take him to the cross. They didn't take his life, he gave it up. That is power of control." Now, Mr. Norris took control of his mind before he sparred with his components. How about us? Do we take control of our minds and listen to God speak to us and pray for help in overcoming each morning before we go out and spar with this world and its ways? If we do, we will also become champions in God's kingdom and have what's called power under control. Let's all work toward a daily relationship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us make the best of everything we have. Let's live simple lives. Let's love generously. Let's care deeply. And let's speak kindly and leave the rest up to God.